Narrative Frameworks 36. Free will. No free will, just flow. Or free will. You play your part. Arguments for and against the existence of free will depend, again, on who and what we have defined ourselves to be, because whether we are free or not free depends on where we have placed our sense of self, where we have placed our identity. And it's very easy to get muddled in argument of free will or not free will, and one person arguing one thing and one person arguing another thing. But maybe people are just arguing, or maybe they're arguing with a different implicit assumption of the nature of self. And this implicit assumption of where the self is, of what the self is, determines all manner of different perspectives. It is the core, the root of our world experience. So we come back to the question once more, who am I? Because if you define yourself as a limited part within a system of other limited parts, then yeah, as a limited part, a conscious limited part, you know, a part in that sense of having basic consciousness, then you have the free will to choose A or B, to go left or right, to confirm or deny, to affirm or deny. We have countless options, choices, possibilities, and we choose our direction. This is free will, in terms of free will as a relative being in a relative world. Relative, what do I mean? Relational. Because parts, they relate. We identify as one part amidst the play, and we relate with the other parts, people, places, things. But what happens if you've seen the limits of that sense of identity, and you've gone beyond solely conceptualizing yourself, your soul, into the limits of a body mind? What happens if you've seen through that, if you've realized you are more than just the limitations imposed upon you and the limitations you have assumed for yourself, as yourself? You know, what happens when you dissolve the personality matrix to see that you are more than just this set and subset of limitations? You are more than just a load of labels, identifications, and investments. In particular, ways of being, outcomes. More than just your likes and dislikes. More than just your profiles, names and numbers. Roles. What happens when you've realized that who you really are is the life that animates your body and mind. The pure consciousness that comes into limited consciousness. The essence that animates substance. When you realize you are this essence, then free will takes a different there is a different slant to the free will, the free will debate, because knowing that you are all consciousness, which is taking up this individual manifestation through the relative aspect of you, knowing that you are all consciousness having an experience through a particular formation of consciousness, knowing that you are all consciousness, where else are you going to go? What else are you going to do? Who else are you going to be? It is all consciousness. Whatever choice you choose is an aspect of consciousness choosing. So it's all the flow of consciousness. It's all the flow of life. And how can we choose anything other than that? Life is just unfolding. And it is unfolding through our relative sense of self. The ultimate is unfolding through the relative. And once we have transcended only the relative as our context and seen the greater context of the ultimate, we realize that all that is happening through us, although it appears to be a particular choice, one direction or another direction, all that is happening through us is the experience and expression of consciousness. So where is the free will in that? And yes, you could argue that you direct consciousness in a particular way, but that is the being rooted in the relative sense of self again. If you step up to the ultimate sense of what consciousness is, this sort of, no sort of about it, this pure essence of being, all is a manifestation of that. So where's the choice? And this is a great mystery. All is a manifestation of this great mystery. How can we choose anything other than this great mystery of being? That in spite of all our understandings, we do not understand, logically at least, rationally at least, materially, we cannot fathom that is that which is beyond the material. So we can know things within the relative world, but when it comes to the ultimate flow of life, when it comes to true questions of meaning and depth, we do not know. And the only way to understand is to accept this flow, this not knowing of knowing, is to accept the great mystery, to know and to love the great mystery, to know the great mystery, to know mystery, to know mystery. Another thing that the dualistic mind cannot understand, because in dualistic understanding, i.e. the normal this or that mode of understanding of relative existence, we have the known and we have the mystery. So knowing the mystery is it's something beyond duality. It's this state of non-duality. It's a state of knowing and letting this knowing flow. And what makes choices in that? Is it the relative us, or is it consciousness flowing through us? So it's a shift in prime point, if you like. It's a shift in seeing the origins of everything coming from an individual self, in which case we have free will, or seeing the origins of everything and all coming from consciousness itself, in which case we are an effect of consciousness in many ways. We are not the prime cause. And yes, as consciousness flows through us, we can cause ripples throughout the world, positive or negative, but we are not the prime cause. We are the configuring of consciousness in the world. And that's not to undermine the importance of that, the importance of configuring consciousness in a way which is beneficial to consciousness, configuring our life energy in a way that is beneficial to life. This is the principle of aligning the relative self with the ultimate self, uniting this returning to the source, to the knowledge of the unknowable. Do we really have free will? The answer depends on what you conceptualize we to be, and what you conceptualize I to be. I am a limited, relative, separate, individual body-mind. Within that, you can believe that you're like powerful and invincible, but it's not the case. Or do you believe your sense of like that is still a limitation? Believing those things, it's a limited sense of identity. Whether you think you are limited or unlimited, if your prime reference point is the individual body-mind, it's a limited reference point. But when we come to the relative, to the reference point of the ultimate, then we are aligning to the principles of life most truly. And of course, it's that ultimate does not exclude the relative. That ultimate includes the relative as a play, as the play of itself. So let's look at this free will thing. Think of the thoughts that come into your mind. You might have thoughts that are conscious, thoughts that are unconscious. Unconscious thoughts just sort of pop in out of nowhere. Conscious thoughts, you might have kind of chosen to have those thoughts. And sure, we can choose a line along which we explore thinking, but on another level, do we really ever have a conscious thought? Do we really, even choosing to think of something, where did that thought come from? The thought to choose to think of something. Where did that thought come from? You know, we can tell ourselves that we have conscious thoughts. But perhaps thoughts are less ours than we think. And that's not to say they're implanted from outside. It's to say that they come from somewhere more than just the body-mind. Do you really control your thoughts, actions, life? In one sense, yes, of course you do. In another sense, no. And the world would say we need responsibility. We do. But different messages are needed at different times. Perhaps once we have understood that we need to take responsibility for our lives, or alongside this realization that we need to take responsibility for our lives, we need to know that life is more mysterious than we may pretend that it is. Life is more of a mystery that we do not know than all of our claiming to know would admit. And there's meaning for you where there's meaning for you. So, because life expresses itself through a duality, the ultimate expresses itself through relative beings. At times we need one aspect of the duality, at times we need the other aspect, like two bookends, if you like, which sort of contain the possibility. We have this sense of individual personal identity on one hand and responsibility, and on the other hand there's this total letting go, total surrender to the will of life. And we need both, just like we need the non-duality and the duality. But it's seeing the place of both, understanding each, being able to integrate and discern where we are lacking, where we are overemphasizing. And who and what is it that discerns? Again, usually we default into the limited sense of self. And this is all well and good in the sense that this is where the appearance of steering life happens, the appearance of journey happens. But sometimes we get those glimpses of the magical, mysterious quality of life, where the curtain is slightly pulled back and there's this sense of wow. There's this sense of I am this small unit of life operating in this vast creation of life, held by this unmanifest creator of life, which is made of the same consciousness that I am. It's not this. Is this not like a necessary, resplendent point to view life from? To know the illusion, but live like it's reality. To know that there is something greater at play here, but to still play your individual role. So when I say to know the illusion, but live like it's reality, I don't mean to live the system illusion like it's duality. I mean to live the dualistic appearance of the play of form and interaction and the natural world. To live like that's reality, even though it may be a matrix of consciousness, at least it is still a matrix of consciousness and not a matrix other than consciousness. So again, is realizing that there are nuances, and what we see as illusion can be different. There's the illusion of life, the spirit, great spirit, essence of life coming into the forms of the natural world, the beauty of the natural world. And there's the illusion of that beauty of the natural world being reduced to statistics and computerized in a matrix apart from itself, a matrix that claims to represent life but is nothing of life, a list of numbers, of descriptions, of pictures, of diagrams, of pixels representing living things. This may seem like life, but it is not life. So it's knowing that there is the illusion of love, and there's the illusion that is not of love. There's the illusion that comes from life, the illusion of life, and the illusion that does not come from life, and it's also perhaps the illusion of life. I mean, even the phrase, the illusion of life, can mean the illusion that comes from life, or the illusion of life. One maybe has a positive connotation, the other a negative. But yes, playing your role in the world, doing the best you can in the world. Your role in the world being played through you. Who are you? Are you the content or the context? There's another way of saying, are you the relative or the ultimate? Are you the foreground or the background? Are you the substance or the essence? Are you the things or the no thing? Are you the manifest consciousness, or are you the essence of consciousness beyond any particular one limited manifestation, i.e. your own body and mind? So we need to see the context for all this content. We need to see the essence that holds all the substance, the unmanifest force of life that is behind all the manifest expressions of life. As we see this, we understand life, and we understand what is not life. We're on the same journey, but with different expressions of this journey. Life changes all the time. The forms of the play change all the time. The generations of people, the formations of life in an ecosystem, it changes all the time, and yet it remains the same, because the forms of life change, but life does not change. Energy is energy, it just takes different form. And truly energy and life are one. Energy and consciousness are one. And each human being, each living thing, is a thought or idea of the universe, a manifest thought idea of the universe. Each human being, each living thing, believes in itself, and this is good. It is good that we can believe in ourselves and believe in our choices. But does each living being, each living thing, believe in the life that runs through it, that is not limited to itself? Herein is the true context. The universe, in all its different forms and ways, is the manifestation of absolute love. And what we live in the world, what we are living in this differentiated occurrence of being, is love in motion. Is silence in sound, is the formless in form. And whether you place yourself in the formless or in the form primarily, determines a lot of things. One such thing is whether you have free will or whether you don't. Perhaps we can include both these perspectives, just as we can understand perhaps that the formless and the form are necessary, that the form is animated by the formless, is born from, exists in, and will return to the formless. perhaps we can understand that free will exists within determination. And this is the determination of love's journey. Love can only move away from itself and come back to itself. Apparently. Love can only be love. Or pretend it is something else. And we can be love, or we can pretend we are something else. To this extent, we have free will. But ultimately, love is love. And this is who and what we are.